beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Child of light, divine. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me, and it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen once again to call me forth. Great joy of reunion, great joy of remembrance, for indeed when we come together in this way, there is a quickening of light, there is a quickening within the heart of remembrance, a feeling of friendship, a feeling of kinship, a feeling of knowing one another, heart to heart. It is always in great joy that one can reach out and touch. That is why you fashion the bodies, so that you can reach with the heart and reach with the hand. And say unto one, thou art the perfect child of the Father, formed before time began, the maker of all. To celebrate, to play, to run, to jump, to do everything that the body wants to do, because you have fashioned the body to play. Angelic beings that you are, you have said, I will ground myself, quite literally sometimes, and will play with the vibration of form. But at all times, you are the light, going as free as the light, having an experience that is angelic and human, so that there are times when you become aware of your angelic self. Always you are of the angels. Always. But in the physical form, you sometimes forget it, and you look just with the eyes of the body, and you do not see the angel form. But I would set for you a small task, that when you look upon another one, and you can do that now, look at another one, pick a partner, sort of, yes, and envision at first the aura around them. Vision the light that is around them. Where you are sitting, you get the light of two to interact with. You do as well. You get a multitude. That is the angelic light, the aura, as it is called, that goes with you everywhere. It is the remembrance that you have put in place of the angelic being that you truly are. A lot of the times you look with the eyes of the body and you see another body, and you do not open the eyes far enough to behold the light of another one. Oftentimes you are so in the mind of, we have a comic in the third row. You are so enamored with the body and the physical characteristics that you do not stop long enough to see the angel that is always present with you. So you can practice that from time to time, looking to see, first of all, what is termed the aura, and you may even see beyond the light of the aura, you may see a certain tinge of color. For indeed the light is made, the pure light is made of all of the colors of the spectrum. So you may see color, or not, but as you allow the eyes to sort of relax and to look at one and to envision around them the angelic light, you will surprise yourself from time to time. Have you ever seen one, and I know that you have, who has come up to you and they have been so excited about something, they couldn't hold it, and they had to tell you right away about it, and you, if you were into the space of remembering from whence they have come, and you as well, you might see the light. You definitely will feel the energy of the light. You feel what is happening, and there is a certain awakening of the cells of your body as you become one with the light of the other one. And it allows you to know what I keep saying to you so many times. There is no separation. Your light blends with their light. That is how, in truth, as you are open to it, you have what is called the thought transference, because the thought can ride on the waves of the light. What you are thinking goes out as waves as well and will go on the light. So as you are in tune with another one, oftentimes you will say, well, I knew you were going to say that. And then they say, well, how did you know? Well, I just know. I just received the message. You are in tune as the one that you are. So play with it from time to time. The reason you have made bodies in this form, in this time, is to play. It is to adventure. It is to discover more about the angelic being that you are. Even while you are walking with the 2 feet, or in some cases the 4 feet, having a human or physical experience. Light to light. From light into light. To play and dance upon the firmament. The firmament in this case being Holy Mother Earth. Do you know how to dance? Well, yes, I'm sure you do.
Not by anybody else's terms.
take hands. Yes? Ah, a big one. I used to be, you know. This body that she fashions for me, it is not quite what I had in mind.
Well,
but
before it was like this.
I know. Shall we dance?
Absolutely.
Aha. Uh-huh. There we go. 1 foot, 2 feet. 1 foot, 2 feet. 1 foot, 2 feet. Oh, very good.
Thank
yes,
you.
Very light.
You're a good leader.
Oh, yeah. I have been told that, yes. That I, assuming the position of the woman, I should be following.
Never.
Never.
Not in my world.
And truly, this is so true of all of you. As you have certain impetus of the Christ energy, there is no holding you back. You get energized, you are up, you are walking, you are being the Christ in form, interacting with every one of the friends that you see here. You are in tune, right?
I'm in tune.
Yes.
I'm still pondering a question from last night.
You have a question from last night?
I know, but I have some timers, though, and I'm trying to think about what I would... Oh, when did you discover the world was round?
Ah, you...
You know, because we all live on the edge.
You more than some others, yes. I jest with you.
But I mean, you know, we were talking at dinner the other night about changing beliefs and one of them, and then
yes.
All of a sudden Jeshua brought up a similar thought
uh-huh.
to ponder. And,
yes.
But then it dawned on me, when did you discover, you know, that the world was round? Or is it?
Or is it? That's
where uh-huh. It is and it isn't, according to belief. But before you landed on Holy Mother Earth to have an experience here, well, we have spoken of the angels, but before that, and as that, they meld together, you were in another galaxy far, far away.
I know, and somebody taught me how to read that today. Aaron did.
Yes. And there are times when ones look at you and they say, well, he must be from another planet. So you see, you are multi-planeted. Planted? Planeted. Planted. Yes, yeah, something like that. But we have spoken of this, how Holy Mother Earth, your incarnation here, is not the first and only. Before we landed on Holy Mother Earth, you knew life in form on other planets, other galaxies. Take that for a moment and ponder it. And then there was the question that comes up, what more is there? That is always coming up, even in human life, the question, as you read a book, perhaps, and it brings up questions about what more is there? And you go searching because you are, we are, the adventurers. We are the ones who want to explore, to find new galaxies, new realms to experience and to create. Because in truth and in time, as you have made time, you are creating new galaxies even as you live within one galaxy here. No, it is very hard to put the finite mind about around something that is truly infinite. Yes. But even in this moment in time, we play with a bit of the stretching of the imagination to say, well, it is possible that upon some of the other forms within other galaxies, light forms, there might be intelligence. And you take that within, and if you are of expanded mind, you say, well, why not? If you are of certain focused mind, I use that term rather than saying narrow, focused mind, you may say, no, this is all there is. But then after you release the body and you are into a more expanded consciousness, you realize that perhaps there's something more. And yes, you have not always lived upon Holy Mother Earth. You will not always live upon Holy Mother Earth. You are the infinite adventurers. We are, as the one that we are, forever going forward and saying, what more? What more can I create? And sometimes you create the fertilizer. And sometimes you create heaven. Because you are most creative, being the extension of the one creative principle. You create. In this day, you created laughter. In this day, you created questions. In this day, some of you created a bit of consternation when something was said and you didn't quite agree with it. It's part of being in the human form. You wanted to, and you are, experiencing what it feels like to be a bit encapsulated and then to allow that to be permeated, to be porous, to allow it to expand so that you then acknowledge and perhaps even feel the expanded self of you, the angelic self that we spoke of earlier, moving into the light being that you are. There are times when an idea comes to you and you wonder, where did that idea come from? I haven't thought about that before. And it was a new idea that turned on all of the lights that said, well, it could be like this, it could be like that. And you were enthralled with the possibilities. Creative child that you are, creative extension, you create every day. Yesterday you created rain here in this area. On this morning, in this area, you created the sunshine. You said, enough rain, meantime, we'll come back to it. You promised yourself that. You promised the trees, the flowers that need the rain. But you said, for a day or so, or maybe longer, we will have some sunshine to play in. And The grouping here, being of one mind, said, "Oh, it is sunny today." Now, as you know, brothers and sisters who are not physically present with you, they may be enjoying sunshine, or they may be enjoying the rain. Or they may say, "We had enough already, and the rivers are flooded. Let's have a time of leveling." And oftentimes you need that in your spiritual understanding, the leveling, to come to a place of peace where you can digest all of the interesting pieces that intelligence brings you. You have fun playing with all the puzzle pieces. It is something that you built into this reality so that you would not be bored. The holy child is never bored. Sometimes a human child can be bored, but not for long. It is exciting to be in form, to play in form. It is exciting to play with ideas beyond form, is it not? And to, I will say this to you, you will come to a certain place where, in your thinking, you will want to be without form. You will be finished with the body that you are activating now. And that is not a negative. That is truly a graduation time to be celebrated. Yes. Oftentimes, because you feel that there will be separation from the loved ones, oftentimes you fear it, or you dread it, or you do not want to experience it because it means supposedly the ending of what you have known. Now, in truth, it is not the ending. It is a change, but it is not the ending. And the loved ones that you feel have activated a body and now are gone from your sight, in truth, they are not even gone from your sight when you have true sight. They are always with you. And you will feel them, and it will surprise you from time to time. They have made a change, and they are adjusting, and quite often feeling free and happy, because they do not have to drag the body around and take care of the body, until, again, they may choose incarnation again. But it is always a free choice. You are never forced into something that you do not choose. And even when you get to the place and you see a loved one who is fighting to stay here, and then they let go, there is a feeling of freedom that they experience. A feeling of, "But I am still alive." So you take that to heart and you rejoice. Yes, you miss the physicality and the sound of the voice and the way that you acknowledge them with the sensory perceptions. But they will come and knock on the door of your consciousness, and they will say, "I'm still alive. Surprise." There are ones, I have to chuckle about this, but this is just me. Well, it isn't just me, it's you as well. But when ones release the body and find that they are still alive, and there is such a surprise about it for them, I rejoice with them as well, even in their surprise, their astonishment. Because for a long, long time, your religious organizations, known as the Church, the Holy Fathers, have told you that you had one life to live, and you'd better do it according to the rules, and you would either go to a heavenly place, and you would have to pass the test with St. Peter. And they never quite tell you what happens. Well, I guess it is called purgatory, that if you don't quite make it into heaven, you have to work out whatever the problems are so that you can go into the heavenly place. Or you might be relegated to a place that will burn off all the dross, all of the wrong choices. Now, you never make a wrong choice. I digress here. But you never make a wrong choice. You choose, and then you get to live with the results of that choice. But you never make a wrong choice. There is always a gift in it, even if you don't want the gift. But there's always a gift in it. So, for a long, long time, your holy ones have taught you that you only have one chance. You'd better get it right. These are the rules. And if you have any question about it, come to me and I will tell you what is right. Okay? And last resort, if you don't accept what I have to tell you as the holy priest or whatever the name is, you can pray to Jesus. And he will save you. I cannot save you. You make choices, and you live with the results of those choices. And there is never a wrong choice. There is never a bad choice. There are choices that you may judge to be not the happiest, perhaps, but as in the living of life, sometimes there are things that happen, and you say, oh, it's the worst thing that could have happened. It's really so bad. That one that I loved and I wanted to be with forever, he has turned his face from me and he's found another brighter star. And for a while, you suffer. But then down the road, you meet someone else and you say, oh, I'm so glad that I didn't have to stay with the first one because this one is my soulmate. This one. And if I had gone with the first choice, I would have missed this one. Everything always works to the place of understanding of who and what you are. Everything that you bring up in life works together in time, as you understand time, to bring you to a place of seeing that you are the Holy One, creating your reality as you go along. And if you don't like your choices, stop, look at it, behold the good in it, and move on. You are always in control, even when you feel like you are out of control. And I have seen some of you getting close to being out of control. My beloved friend and teacher, from time to time, has also come close to recognizing the holy energy of herself. I will put it that way. But then, she has come and said, well, that was quite an experience. I created that? Nah. I didn't create that. Well, maybe I did. And then you move on. And in time, as you have made time, you look back on an experience and you say, you know, if that hadn't happened, then this wouldn't have happened. And there's the blessing in that. Creative one that you are. Count it all as good. Rejoice at the time, if you can. Rejoice later, if you need to.
I like it when Pat always says, now that just happened.
Yes, now that just happened, exactly, yes.
The market is good.
Yes, and it is good. Every experience that you have is good. You have a treasure chest of good things that you have created for yourself. Even if you thought in the moment that they were not all that great, as you got a little farther away from it, you could see that, you know, that was really for the best. If I had gone on Avenue A, I would have missed B, C, and D. I would have missed some of the others that came along later. and I would not want to miss knowing you, or you, or you, and you. You see, every choice is a perfect choice, even if it feels like S-H-I-T. S-H-I-T is a very good fertilizer. You grow through it, with it. But I digress a wee bit. I'm good at that.
Joke.
Sometimes, not very traditional, but sometimes male. However, there is one who is knocking on the door and saying that he would like to speak with you this evening. It is my father, not the heavenly father, but the earthly father. And he was truly my earthly father in terms of earthly begetting, okay, as you put together the physicality, okay. It has been said that the Holy Father, God, whatever you want to call that one, was my father, and that my father, Joseph, was just a stand-in. But no, I will not disclaim him. He was my physical father, and I am proud of it. Because he, as a personage, was very talented. But he will tell you that. Yes. So give us a moment. We will see. Peace be unto you.
And also to you.
Thank you. I am pleased that you remember the holy greeting and can give it as a response and as a truth, because peace is always with you when you claim it. I am the one known as Joseph, earthly father to one Yeshua. And yes, we called him Yeshua, and we did not have to bless him because he was already blessed. He has told you that funny bit. Okay. He was, in that lifetime, a treasure to me. I was most happy and proud to be the progenitor of that small one, as he came as a small one, because he did. But he very quickly grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew to be as tall as I was, and perhaps a little bit more, because there was a divine plan, which you heard of on the last evening, that he would be riding the camel, and he needed a bit more height. So be it. It happened. He was always, from the beginning, a bundle of love. Did he cry? There were times when, as the infant, yes, he made some sounds that said, I am hungry, I want my mother. But they were not cries of sorrow. There was, in truth, only one example or time when there was sorrow. And that was only momentary. That was when he looked upon Jerusalem and saw, as some of you see with your leaders, your political leaders in this day and time, how they were missing the mark, how they did not know who and what they were, and how they were teaching and forcing others to understand their view of what was holy. And he did feel sorrow at that time. But as you have been, and he was, he understood the divine plan and let it be to work its way out. As a young child, he was very much the teacher. We taught him, as the Essenes that we were, the heritage of the Essene knowing. And he was very quick to understand it and to know that this was his spiritual heritage, the beliefs. And when he was 7, it was time for him to have some of the formal training. And so we took him to the place where the Essene histories were being stored so that he could study the Essene heritage and the teachings. And he went through the program, as you would call it, of copying all of the old manuscripts and learning as he would copy. And he paid attention. Not all of the students. We're not as studious.
I'm taking notes.
You have learned, my lad. You have learned.
Spelling check is not in the pen, though.
No, the spelling. Well, that is important. Yes, it is important. Now that you have words in this language that can sound alike but are spelled differently, or ones that are spelled the same and have different meaning. It is confusing, no?
It is, like consciousness and consensus.
Oh, yes, right. And sometimes the consciousness is into consensus, but it does not always mean that it's right.
Right.
Unless it's left. Unless right. This is right. Well, right. This is right.
Right.
Okay, right.
That's right.
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 Right. Right. Maybe there's agreement there. I'm not so sure.
Me neither.
Well, there is a... Not to put a heavy upon you, because I will not do that. But there is a sentence in what has become known as the Lord's Prayer that is missing because someone, it was their lunchtime, they left. And when they came back, they picked up at the next line.
Yep, Jesuit told me that.
Okay. Yeah.
So and there's also a peanut butter smear at the bottom. The subject.
I think it's dates.
Is it dates?
Yes, I think probably.
That dated it. That dates it.
That definitely dates it. Humor is good. Anyway, to get back to Yeshua. As he became older, he was full, well, even as a small one, he was full of questions. But as he became older, the questions were deeper. And he wanted to know not only who he was as one Yeshua, not only as one adventurer with a human form, but he wanted to know what is out there beyond what I know. And he began the process of beginning ascension, even as a teenager, even as the 12-year-old with the story that you have, when he went and he asked the Holy Ones the questions, and they were a bit short with him because he was asking questions that did not have the approved answers coming readily. He was, as you would say, pushing the boundaries of wanting to know. So the learned ones were not exactly easy with him. But he kept pushing because he wanted to know as you have wanted to know. That is why you are here in this week. You want to know what more is there. There must be more than just the body, than the mind. There must be more than what is written in the books. And so you come together to discover, uncover the truth of your being. After he had made trek to India, and he told you about going to study there, after he had been to India and studied with the masters there, he came back to share that which he knew. And he came first to his boyhood home, to the village of Nazareth. But ones were not open to receiving his information because they felt, well, he is from this village, and yes, he has traveled, but they did not believe what he was telling them because it went beyond the boundaries of what was comfortable for them. So he understood that he was going to have to go and find other ones who were seeking, who wanted to know more. And because he had traveled beyond just Nazareth and the area around there and the place of the Essenes where he had studied, he found ones who felt a calling to ask questions. What did he know? So he shared with them, as he spoke last evening to you. And in speaking, he found, as you have found, when you go to explain something, you become even wiser because you have to put the pieces together as you are explaining it. You have to get clear in your own thinking before you can give it to someone else. And in the giving, it becomes more. So this was, as you could see, a two-way street, a two-way benefit with the teaching and the sharing that he did. And many of you, so gathered in this room, were the ones who were questioning, who came to him and wanted to know, what have you found out in your travels? What did you find out? What is truth? Now you have come again and you have said, what is truth? And the inner being of you has brought it right up in front of your face. It sits in front of you, to the side of you, behind you. Truth is the spirit that activates this which you have put together as a body. The spirit is truth. But not just the spirit as is defined in human terms, but the whole of the activity of spirit, even the yawn. Wondrous, the things you can do with the body. But as my son has said many times, I digress. He inherited that. Yes, we practice. He learned the art of carpentry growing up because it was the thinking at that time, as it is now, that one must have a trade. One must have something that is obvious that you can give, teach, sell, whatever, to other ones. And so he learned the trade of carpentry, and he was very good at making the tables and chairs. He knew that that was always something that he could fall back upon if he needed, but he did not need. There were other avenues for him. But his mother and I cherished the table that he made and we had in our room of eating, and we used it during that lifetime. And then it was handed down to his brother James, who then handed it down to the rest of the lineage. And to my knowledge, that table still exists. Imagine that.
Wow.
It does. Still exists. Aha! That is for the ages to know and for you to find out. It is my understanding.
It went to Susan, it went to Bob, then it went to Jerry, who gave it to Beth Ann.
Something like that. Because as he has said to you already on the previous evening, wood is still alive. It is still the tree in another form. And there is vibration, as you can feel, with anything that seemingly has been made from the tree. Always there is vibration, living vibration. Now, your belief system right now is very expanded in that you know how to make something that looks like wood, feels like wood, serves the purpose like wood, but is not wood. And you can tell by the vibration. If it is truly from the tree, and you sit in quietness, in stillness, and you ask, you can feel the vibration still in the wood. If it is of, well, I will say man-made material, it serves a good purpose, and it has vibration, but it is at a lower level. So if you are sensitive, you can tell. Or if you are sensitive in the spiritual reckoning, you don't even have to put your hand on it. You can tell. This was part of what I enjoyed with wood, was the living vitality of a tree and of wood. And my greatest, if I may take human pride, and I did, and I do, I fashioned the temple doors in Jerusalem. I worked on those doors for some years because they were quite high, higher than I can reach with this body. Huge doors. And carvings that were spiritually discerned. If you have traveled, and if you have seen these doors, you will know you would go and put your hand upon them, and you, in truth, can feel my vibration as the one who worked them and carved. You can still feel my vibration. But you have to want to. And not everybody does. Many ones just use them because they are doors. And that is okay. But it was a love of my life, as was Mary, the love of my life, and Yeshua, and James, and all of the other children who were biological brothers and sisters to Yeshua. We had a family. Your holy fathers decided that I was the one and only that was Christ incarnate. Yeshua was, not I, but Yeshua. But we had the family, and there was much love in the family. So someone has asked about incarnations, and did I have other incarnations? Yes, the same as you have had. I mean, why stop at one? If you are the creative extension of the one creative principle, you're probably going to create and create and create. And so I did, and I do. Because you see, once you are discarnate, let's put it that way, that is fun because you are free. But there are times when you want to know things that you remember when physical. Now, I know this is pushing the mind a bit, but you do have legend of ones being able to come back again, reincarnate, and those legends are true. I was, as one Joseph, very interested in spirit and everything spiritual. And Yeshua and I had many discussions, especially after he came back from India. And there was much that he had to share with us. And much that he shared with us after the crucifixion. Because after he allowed the body to be released, not functioning quite the same, and re-energized the body and walked among us, we had questions. Naturally so. Mm-hmm. We wanted to know, how did you do that? And so he shared with us. So when it became time that I should lay down the body of Joseph. I did. But, like you have done many times, I decided I wanted more. I wanted to know more in physical life. So, I fashioned another body, as you have done. And I came, and I walked Holy Mother Earth and had experiences, one of which has come to be known, quite famous, and I was even sainted, whatever that means, as Saint Germain, because I had the question that all of you have had, and it is why you are here in this group. I wanted to know, what is life? What more is there besides the physical body? Out of what am I made? As a small child, I asked questions of my parents, of my teachers. I wanted to know. I was quite a pest. I kept asking questions, same as you have done in lifetimes. But I want to know. They would tell me what they knew, but I want to know more. And so as Germain, in that lifetime, Lord Germain, I had teachers because the family was wealthy. I had teachers who could tell me from the writings what they knew, but that wasn't enough. Because it only went so far. The way with you, you will read a book and it will turn on the lights of questions. And you want to know, what are the answers? And in that lifetime as Lord Germain, I wanted to know more. So what did I do? What you are doing. I sat in stillness and asked of myself, my holy self, as Yeshua would say, the one with a capital S. And there was revelation. As you have had revelation that has brought you to this point, because you've had the questions, and then you've had some answers, and the answers have led to more questions. And this happened with me. Each question seemed to be as a tree, and branched out with more questions. And I sat quietly and contemplated, not with the mind, but with the spirit, the openness of spirit. Many of you, you have a humorous story about how do you get to Carnegie Hall? You practice. Practice. And I did. Sitting in stillness, sitting in quiet, asking of my peers, yes, what did they know? And they would tell me, but that only takes one just so far, as you have found out. There are many tablets that are written, many scrolls that are written, many books that you have written, many recordings that explain things, but you don't have the knowing. And that can only come as you sit in quietness and expand into the knowing and take it in to yourself. Others can tell you words. Others can give you clues. But the inner knowing is something that you ascertain for yourself and cannot be explained in words. It is just a knowing. It is a space, a spaciousness that is as open as you can imagine and more. So you sit in quietness and you ask, you receive, and at some point the smile comes upon the face and you know that you know. And it is wordless. Cannot put it into words, but you know from whence you have come, and you know where you are going. And it is one and the same It is the spirit of you. Always and forever having an experience. In this case, a physical experience. You have fashioned the body that gets tired and sleepy, the body that says, I really want to pay attention to this, but, oh, back again. Yes, I'm hearing. It's okay. Yes, it's all right. I understand. I've been there. But that is okay. That is step one. And you cannot get to 101 until you make the first step. So you are doing well because you want to know. You desire of the Father, the one true Father, the one creative principle. Seek. You have a quotation which is very true, based on truth. Seek and ye shall find. And this is what I did as Saint Germain. And when I found, I then tried to share, as best I knew, the truth of one's being. And I became a light. Then the information was taken and it was codified and it was made into a movement, and you still have the movement even now with all of its rules and regulations, which are as stepping stones. Important, yes, as stepping stones. But all of the stepping stones count for nothing until you go to the place where there is not a stepping stone and you are in the allness. And you just know. You know your being. And what happens then? The greatest smile comes upon the face. And the breath becomes as living energy. And you know yourself to be, capital B. You know yourself. So be it.
So be it.